Mere conservatism.
And a time for another edition of Mere Conservatism. David Perry and I'm Cleve Walker. It's been a bit, David.
Yes, it has. I'm so happy to see you, Cleve.
I'm so happy to see you,
I hope you're doing great.
I mean, I hate to say it, but a lot of this is like therapy for me. It's an outlet
to get good.
A lot of, I have a lot of strong feelings about what we're talking about, so it's good to get it out.
That's good. I thought you were going to say you have a lot of thoughts, which I was going to say that must be very hard for you. I know that's a challenge.
Yeah, thinking is
and
a new
so,
habit.
And yeah. Yes, but there has been a lot going on. It's an election year. It's a big year. I don't know if you've noticed the economy is precariously placed there on the precipice.
It's hard not to notice.
All you hear about, though, is the great jobs numbers and how the economy is soaring and
twice as good. Good as they thought it was supposed to be.
It's really not.
No,
it's really bad.
It never has been. It's never been the barometer that a lot of folks think it was to begin with. Anyway, another subject. Let's get to some polls, because I understand from the last time we talked, you are finally a true believer in polls.
Well, I don't know if I'd say it that way.
Well,
you're just messing with me here.
No,
so what I will say is that the polls in Iowa and New Hampshire were accurate.
Yeah.
And so, I've long been very suspicious of polls. I don't write them off necessarily, but I do take them with a extremely large grain of salt, because we've seen them be used to manipulate people.
Yeah.
They've been wrong. They have been somewhat right, but misinterpreted on purpose. It's like statistics. People use them for their own purposes. And so you have to wonder, when you look at polls a lot of times, is are they trying to give you information, or are they trying to lead you somewhere?
Yeah, the way the polls questions are phrased, all of that can actually, you know, give a false view of exactly what the populace feels.
Yeah, but in the Republican primary, we saw two processes so far. We saw the Iowa caucus with a result that was accurately portrayed
very
by the polls ahead of time.
Yeah, very close.
And New Hampshire was also accurately portrayed ahead of time. And so right now, the polls have been somewhat accurate. And we're getting more polls between the presumptive nominees as well, Biden and Trump.
Well, when the polls I am more interested in are the polls from institutions and media that we normally associate with the Democrats and progressive causes, because I tend to think those are weighted in a certain direction. So when they show movement towards, say, our direction along things that I like, I tend to get a little bit more interested in polls then. And here's an example. All right, a new national NBC News poll, okay, that was released just Sunday, as a matter of fact. And voters were asked, who would be a better candidate? And these are for registered voters. They were asked, who would be a better candidate to handle the economy? 55% of registered voters said they believe Trump would be a better candidate to steer the economy, compared to 33% who chose Biden. That's a pretty widespread, all right?
Yes.
A couple more. Trump also has a large lead over Biden when it comes to who will secure the border. He's like plus 35 points.
Yes.
In that. And also, and this is interesting, again, this is an NBC poll, David, who has the necessary mental and physical health to be president? Trump leads that by plus 23, of course. That shouldn't be any surprise.
Mm-mm.
Overall, though, with all the categories figured in with this thing, the polls show Trump leading Biden 47 to 42% among registered voters in a 2024 general election.
So that is one poll. And there's some interesting things in there. Something I've noticed on a lot of the polling is that when you break it down by issue, like you did just there, Biden's underwater on pretty much everything. I think maybe the only thing that he does decent on is Ukraine.
Yeah.
As far as public opinion on how he's handled something, he's underwater on everything.
Right.
And even being underwater on so many things, he still gets a lot of people to say that they would vote for him.
Yeah.
However, he is stuck in the low 40s in pretty much every poll that I see. There was also a Quinnipiac poll last week that showed Biden up 6 in the national.
I remember that.
In the general election. And that's the popular vote.
Yeah.
Now, I happened to listen to some pundits question how Biden could be up six, but also lose every swing state, because Biden is down in pretty much every swing state.
For sure.
The answer to that is very simple. When you see a popular vote poll, you have to remember California and New York have a lot of people, and they're going to vote probably 65-35 for Biden.
Yeah.
And that's why popular vote polls matter very little.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people like to forecast based on those things. You really can't do that, in my opinion. And I'm obviously no poll expert. But even with that Quinnipiac poll, with Biden up six, the Real Clear Politics average still has Trump up 2 points.
And I love the average one. The average is
One is good, because you can see polling from a lot of different sources through a longer period of time. And I feel like you can get a better picture. So Trump is up nationally. If you look at the battleground states, which I want to say it's like six states, the ones that they're really watching are Arizona, Nevada, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia. Mm-hmm. That's six states.
Definitely. Right.
They have Trump winning every one of those states except for Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, where he's tied with Biden. If Trump wins every state he's supposed to win and loses those two states, Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, he wins.
Yeah.
I mean, that's enough electoral college votes to win the election. So Trump right now is leading this election. It's only February, but Trump is leading the election. And honestly, the reason he's beating Biden, I don't see that reason going away.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't.
As a matter of fact, and it's more than one reason, those reasons actually get more pronounced as time goes on.
I agree.
For example, the border issue. It's the border only issue. Going to get worse.
There's really two things, I think, that really, really drives, that's really driving Biden's negatives right now. And my opinion is that it's Biden's negatives that are driving these polls more than Trump's positives. I think people, Trump is unpopular. You and I might like him. You might like him more than I do, which I think you do. Generally speaking, we might like him, but a lot of people really don't like him.
Sure.
We gotta remember that and realize that.
Yeah.
It's not Trump's popularity that's doing this. It's how bad Biden is. All Trump. This is Trump's campaign. Biden is a bad president. Case closed.
Well,
we can all see that's true. It's two issues. It's his age and his mental decline, and it's the border.
The border. Now, I'm going to say this, though, about Trump's popularity. I think his popularity has actually increased. His own personal. It's not like he's not a beloved figure by any means, but it has increased. What I'm hearing, the scuttlebutt I'm hearing right now is when people began to compare their lives under Trump's administration as compared to what it is under, and I'm talking about minorities now who are looking around and saying, Biden was my guy, but I've got bills. And many, especially black business owners, are saying, if only for that, I'm missing the good old days under Trump. So Trump is becoming, in a way, not because of his personality, but because he represents something that our country hasn't seen for a while, a healthy, vibrant economy and a safe, secure border. And also, and this is, I didn't get the polling on this one, but also the instability of the nation as far as the international concerns are concerned.
Yeah.
Remember, the big thing was going to be if Trump gets in office, that's going to be hell to pay with foreign issues all over the place. And yes, it's happening, but it's happening under Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I want to tell you something. It's very serious to me right now what's happening on the national front.
Well, when things are going bad, Cleve, the incumbent is at a disadvantage. This is actually one. 2020 had so many problems that we could talk about, but Trump was weakened because of how bad the country was doing in 2020.
Even though it was his fault.
It wasn't his fault, but the country was weakened. And so this time, Trump can do what Biden did in 2020 and just point to the president and say, things are not going so good. How about a change?
Yeah.
And he has that advantage this time, and it's because things are going pretty poorly under President Joe Biden.
The sad thing about it is, again, the Republican Party is still not united as we should be. There are still elements. Let's talk about the primaries, for example. Nikki Haley's only argument for staying in the race was that I can beat Biden. My percentages of winning, I have a wider margin than him in the general election than does Trump. And we're just seeing right now, no, Trump can beat Biden.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's your best argument, you're in trouble. What do you think at this particular point in time, just stepping out of the polls for a second, about what Nikki Haley should do? You think she should just drop out now? She's saying she won't.
Let me say it this way. Mm-hmm. If I were her, I wouldn't drop out.
Okay.
I mean, I don't see a reason. I mean, you could make the argument you do it for the country. Mm-hmm. You can make the argument you do it for the party.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were her, what is really the advantage to her to drop out? There really isn't one.
Mm-hmm.
The advantage to stay in is you raise your profile, raise your clout.
Mm-hmm.
If something does happen to Trump, you're right there to pick up the pieces.
Now, that's a good point.
I really think that for her, she's a different case than Ron DeSantis. Mm-hmm. You know, Ron DeSantis actually had a lot to lose by staying in the race. She doesn't really have that much to lose by staying in the race.
Yeah.
She really only has something to gain. And so, if I were her, I probably would not drop out. You might think that that's not what's best for the country. Mm-hmm. I disagree. I don't think that it hurts the country for her to stay in the race. I think if you think that, you're being a little overwrought about the situation. It doesn't hurt anything for her to stay in the race. It's good for her personally, I think. I actually think that it's good for Trump to have somebody to run against a little bit right now.
Hmm. That's interesting. Of course, he wouldn't agree with that.
And you might say, well, if she drops out, he could just run against Joe Biden. Well, he could really already do that if he wants to. He's very far ahead. He doesn't have to take cheap shots and things at Nikki Haley. He doesn't really have to pay that much attention to her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's going to, because that's who he is. But I think that it does him some good to have a little bit of just a little bit of adversity.
Well, you might have a point there, but I'd see it more, David, as a teachable moment, okay, especially for the Republican Party. The Republican Party, at least one wing of it, has refused to accept that Trump does own the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they're going to find that out now. I think in a way, Haley represents the last gasp of the grand old party as constituted under McConnell,
Well, that's the lane she's running in for sure.
Right. Yeah. And that ship has sailed.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, for good or ill, however you want to view it, the Republican Party is Trump's to own.
Look, you and I have said on this program, Nikki Haley would be an awesome candidate 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. If she was the exact same person as she is right now, 20 years ago, she'd be great. And frankly, people might not like me saying this, but
I don't like you saying it, and you haven't even said it yet, but go ahead and get it out.
She and Trump are not that different on policy. They're really not all that different. And the different one was Ron DeSantis. He was the one that was more different than either one of them.
See, now that's I disagree with you on that. I was considering what you said about Haley, and I think you may have a point there. But I think, unfortunately, DeSantis' problem was he was not different enough. He's running down the same lane that Trump is.
Well, I don't know. He was running in the same lane, but
there's no way he was going to win
DeSantis,
that, in that lane.
DeSantis was more conservative than Donald Trump.
Yeah, I can say that. And
he was more conservative than Nikki Haley.
Right.
Nikki Haley and Donald Trump are actually more similar as far as their conservatism level. If you were going to rate them, they're more similar than DeSantis and Trump were.
Okay.
In my opinion.
I'll think on that.
So the thing that they're really different on is probably foreign policy, which she's more of a hawk. She's made that pretty clear on foreign policy. So she's much more interventionist, but that's the lane she's running in right now. So
Yeah.
She's but I say all that to say I wouldn't drop out if I were her. I don't think it hurts the country or any of that dramatic stuff. It's fine.
It may be that even after she finally concedes, that she may be able to convince many of the people in her following that she's carrying mm-hmm. to coalesce behind Trump, okay? That maybe Trump couldn't get to do otherwise. So there's that possibility.
Mm-hmm.
I dislike the fact, though, that her style is starting to bug me. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
DeSantis' style started to bug me in some ways, too, to tell you the truth. And style, unfortunately, is part of it.
Can I say that as soon as DeSantis dropped out, he improved? Have you
noticed that?
That is weird.
No, it's not. I think he was, unfortunately, what made him not as strong a candidate as he should have been is, to me, I saw him trying to follow the steering currents of his consultants and things that they would bring. I mean, in other words, he just was not relaxed. He was not himself.
It may be that DeSantis is better at governing than he is at running.
And that's a good point.
And campaigning.
I just think he just started too soon.
And that's a good thing. I actually think that's a good thing. He is the most competent person I've ever seen do this politics thing.
He's proven that, yes. Yeah.
He's better than Donald Trump as far as the nuts and bolts. Mm-hmm. He would be better. And I stand by that. I think, but I do think that it's true. He's better at governing than he is at running, which is why possibly as soon as he stopped running, he's now governing Florida, and he's awesome again.
He is. I just feel he just feels free. He's more relaxed. He's back to where he was when he started. To me, he's a firebrand without trying to prove everybody. I'm a firebrand. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's just doing his thing. He's governing, and his time to me it just had not come. Okay. Trump is not going to be a two-term president. It was just not DeSantis' time. It will be his time. And what Nikki Haley needs to be careful about for her own sake is that she doesn't ruin the prospect of possibly having a chance to run again and be considered a viable candidate.
Yeah, well, I don't know. If I were her, I wouldn't worry about that right now. I mean, the time is now. What I would be thinking about in 4 years is the MAGA clinger honors. So all the MAGA people, Matt Gaetz and these people that just kind of cling on to Donald Trump, that's really their only claim to fame, they're going to try to run in 4 years.
That's a good point. They will.
And, and it's going to be interesting to see how that shapes up. Because the MAGA phenomenon, it's not going to go away when Donald Trump is done. I really don't think so. And as of right now, I'm expecting him to win.
I'm going to tell you this right now.
I don't know
what's
going to happen, but
if Trump wins the presidency and serves out his 4 years, even after he leaves, he will still own the Republican Party. That's how much clout he will carry. You have to think
that he's going to be able to handpick his replacement.
Yes, I mean. And he still will carry, especially if he has any kind of presidency along the line of what he had before. He'll be a kingmaker. So it's still going to be Trump's party for some time to come.
But see, the thing about that is I'm not sure that Donald Trump is a kingmaker might not be the right word. He may be able to pick a nominee, but I just don't know that it's going to work for anybody else. You know, kind of like Obama was a superstar, but any candidate he touched crashed and burned.
Yeah, well.
He didn't have coattails, in other words.
He did not.
And I'm not sure that Trump does either, because there was only one Obama, and there's only one Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know, but
except,
I'm not sure.
Except Obama had nothing to – his specialness was all about history. It had nothing to do with competency or the dynamic of his personality. It had nothing to do with that. It had all things to do with this thing of being the first black president.
Yeah.
He was, to me, our very first elect president.
Diversity hire.
Yes, he was. And it proved because he was incompetent. Trump, for all of his issues, and he's got them. He has got things about his personality that still drive me crazy. But for all of his issues, he's proven I can do this job.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you want to say about him, in his time in office, he had the economy humming. He had foreign affairs in a stronger shape than we've ever been. And even though he was not a hawk, like I think Nikki Haley is as far as the military is concerned, he still had enough sense to say, I am not going to let America appear to be weak on the international scene, as Biden has done. And in other words, what do you want to say about I remember in the good old days when Trump would walk into the room, wherever he was, whatever foreign capital he was in, Putin or Xi or anybody else, he took up the space.
Yes, okay. He did.
And it's just the opposite with Biden. When Biden teeters into any place, and it was the opposite with Obama too. Standing beside Putin, Obama looked like a Smurf. Okay, he was not there. Not with Trump. Trump, whatever you want to say about it, he walked in large and in charge. NATO, you're going to start paying your bills.
He does not lack confidence.
We're not going to. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And that's what we need. We need it now more than ever. But.
Well, if Trump wants to have if he wins and he wants to have an extremely successful 4 years as president, he'll hire Ron DeSantis as his chief of staff and let him set the agenda.
No, that won't happen.
It won't happen, but it would be that would be the best way for Donald Trump to have a very impactful presidency would frankly be for Ron DeSantis to set the agenda and make it happen.
Who does he choose, in your opinion, as his vice president?
Oh, I don't know.
You have no clue?
Because I wouldn't say I don't have a clue.
Governor Noem's name keeps coming up, but I just
hope it's not her.
I don't think it's going to be her.
But I don't think that's a good choice.
Her name keeps coming up.
Yeah, I think that's actually a bad choice. She's a little spineless, and I don't think it's going to work.
Okay.
For her.
I'll tell you who I think it's going to be myself, but I just want to know if you had any idea, not who you prefer, but if you just had any idea who.
Yeah, well, I will say that Donald Trump's weakness is probably going to be suburban women. Mm-hmm. I don't think that Kristi Noem helps with that, mm-hmm. even though she's a woman. I don't think I just don't think that's going to work.
It never really works for conservatives for some reason. The women card is not a strong card for a conservative.
And I'm not against having a woman on the ticket. I just don't think she's the one. And I don't think that Ricky Lake. That's the talk show host.
Right.
Whatever her name is. Carrie Lake. Ricky Lake.
But
daytime TV. I don't think that's her either. No. I would lean more towards somebody like Tim Scott. Or maybe even Vivek Ramaswamy.
Don't say that.
You don't think him?
Oh, no. I don't want to see him anywhere near.
Too flashy.
Right. But I think Senator Tim Scott is going to be Trump's choice. Okay. I didn't say he was necessarily my choice. I'm just saying I believe he's going to be Trump's choice. I believe that Lake should do what she's doing, run for the Senate and be a senator and build up her profile because she's I like her a lot. She's a very effective, powerful communicator.
Yep. She needs some credentials. She needs to do something first, I think.
Be a senator. And
she needs to win something before she'll
be a darn good senator. And then her time, you know, is still able to come. But Senator Tim Scott, and again, it's not because he's a black guy. And again, that doesn't work for us anyway as conservatives. To the progressives, you're not black unless you are, and you're not a real woman or in between woman unless you are progressive or liberal. So that's not going to. But
it's his
like
genteel attitude. It's
right.
His personality.
He needs to balance off Trump's personality. And he has more personality than Pence does. I will say that in 1,000 times.
I agree. But he does have the same sort of affect as a sweet guy. You know, nobody hates Tim Scott.
Right. Well, take that back. They hate him, but not in a vociferous way.
No normal people do.
But believe me, they hate him because he represents the thing they hate, again, which is, in his case, a black man who does not stand anywhere near progressive leanings. He's also a Christian, which makes him hate him more. But I think
he's engaged now.
So what? Yes,
he got engaged.
I love that.
Just in time, by the way, for this run.
I love that. So he would, to me, he would be a great guy as a running mate, and he would not only not hurt Trump, but I think he would help him a lot. And again, you don't need two firebrands. DeSantis and Trump would have been too much. Okay, you need somebody to be stable and yet still a real person. Mm-hmm. And I think Tim Scott fulfills that.
Do you think? This is a different topic. Do you think that there is a chance on the southern border of conflict, intranational conflict? In other words, conflict between Texas officials and U.S. Border Patrol?
That is a good question. I mean, in so many ways, you're almost looking like, wow, are we getting ready to have another civil war? I mean, because this is really coming down to an argument of states' rights in a real sense, in a classic sense. I'm glad it's come down to this, though, because this needs to be settled, that a chief executive, whether it's Biden or Trump, should not be able to order a state's governor and say, you don't have the right to protect your citizens. They should not be able to do that. So mm-hmm. this is a kind of important text case. I thank God that the governor of Texas did this. He started the whole thing with busing immigrants yes. up there, and that was good, and doing this. And I thank God for the 20 or so governors who are standing with him.
Yes. Well, that's important because the governor of Texas, Governor Abbott, he has been known to waffle a little bit and bend to pressure.
I agree, but not this time.
And so I'm hoping that the support of so many other states makes it so that he will not back down, because personally, Cleve, I think that he ought to defy the federal government and the Supreme Court if necessary to do what he's doing.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court said that Border Patrol could remove barriers, mm-hmm. but it didn't say that Texas couldn't put up barriers.
Exactly. And
so as of right now, there's no conflict with what what SCOTUS said that I'm aware of. I don't know if Texas officials were keeping U.S. Border Patrol from those areas or not. Mm-hmm. I think I got conflicting information about whether or not they were.
It's an important situation. And
but you could foresee this is one reason I brought this up, because it's not you could actually I'm not saying this is going to happen, but it is foreseeable for you to see a conflict between federal agents and state agents there in Texas, because all you have to do is have the Border Patrol say, we're coming here to carry out our orders. We've been ordered to remove this barrier. And the Texas National Guard or the Texas Rangers or somebody say, you do that and we're arresting you. And then Border Patrol say, you can't arrest us. We're federal agents. And they resist. And now there's conflict. There's a fight. Mm-hmm. Somebody gets tased. Mm-hmm. God forbid somebody gets shot because they're resisting arrest or something like that. I'm not saying that is going to happen, and I hope that nobody would make the mistake of doing that on either side. Personally, I hope Border Patrol would back down. I think they actually would. But you could see that happen.
Sure.
Now, what I think would happen is Border Patrol would conveniently get a flat tire. Oh my goodness, my Dodge Durango wouldn't start, and I couldn't get down. I really think that Border Patrol would not. They would find a way to disobey an order. Mm-hmm. Now, they're not. I don't think that they would blatantly disobey an order. But Border Patrol doesn't want to be doing what they're doing.
That's true.
Do not want to be bellboys for the cartels, which is basically what they are. They're just picking people up and processing them. They're not enforcing the border, and they don't want to be doing that for the most part.
I'll tell you one thing I'm glad for as we get ready to close about this, but this is an important subject. I thank God for Speaker of the House Johnson, okay, because he says whatever the Senate does over there, if they do end up passing out this so-called spending bill that supposedly has immigration concessions.
It's an immigration bill, quote unquote, but really it's a bunch of spending.
It's dead on arrival if it does make
good.
It
good. Yeah, I'm very thankful
for that. I appreciate that. And again, that's what the House should do. The House of Representatives should be more closer to the heart of the people in issues like this.
Well, and a lot of people have been very critical of Speaker Johnson.
I
really think that people in a lot of cases, I'm not happy either with what Congress is doing, but I think that they overestimate what the House can do.
Right.
And I think that Speaker Johnson in many cases is – I don't like to do the purity test thing on our side. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I think that these guys make the best bad choice that they can make. And you might hate that, but I hate to say, but that's leadership a lot of times.
Yes.
That's what it takes to make –
As slim as the margin is in Congress right now, we cannot act like we have a really big majority. We can't act that way because we don't have
And I'm not saying that I trust him necessarily, implicitly, but I do think that I do think that there's a potential for the right political move here to be made. And if he does block this bill, which they say they're going to, this border bill, that's really a spending bill for Ukraine. Yeah. That's really what it is.
And spending, other stuff that shouldn't be in there.
It's
as well.
A spending bill for Ukraine that has border stuff in it to try to force Republicans to take it up. And they really shouldn't. It's really a shame that Republicans are even debating this bill, and some Republicans are even pushing the bill. It's really too bad because Joe Biden can secure the border without any help.
Right.
He can do what he needs to do. Now, look, Trump had it done, and Joe Biden reversed that.
He undid it.
With no help from Congress, which means he can redo it with no help from Congress,
So stop
too.
Pretending like that he can't do it and giving him something to run on, saying, hey, I tried.
He can close the border if he wants to. Joe Biden, the president, has so much authority on the border. This is what they need to do. They need to end all asylum claims.
Yes.
They have to do that. They need to end all asylum claims, no more asylum claims. They need to put a physical barrier along the border.
They need to have remain in Mexico.
They need to reinstate remain in Mexico.
And
they need to start mass deportations. And number five, they need to start treating the drug cartels as enemy combatants on foreign soil, which means using drone attacks. I'm talking about launching missiles. They need to declare war on the cartels.
If anybody needs to defend its border, it's the U.S. right now. All right. Good point, David. And again, great things. I love your turnaround you've made on polls. Glad to see you become a new believer.
Don't say that. Quit messing with me.
Where can folks hear this again?
Check it out on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Yeah. Follow us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook. You can listen to it there.
That's so cool. David Perry, and I'm Cleve Walker. And again, thank you for joining us for another edition of Mere Conservatism. As always, it's not over with yet. Keep up the fight. Keep the faith. Bye-bye.